worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of Psalms, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. And then looking in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 28, beginning at verse 1. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come see where his body was lying, and now go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you." The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy, and they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." As the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and told the leading priests what had happened. A meeting with the elders was called, and they decided to give the soldiers a large bribe. They told the soldiers, "You must say, Jesus' disciples came during the night while we were sleeping, and they stole his body. And they stole his body. If the governor hears about it, we'll stand up for you so you won't get in trouble." So the guards accepted the bribe and said what they were told to say. Their story spread widely among the Jews, and they still tell it today. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some of them doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." All of Matthew chapter 28. Lord, thank you once again for the wonderful and the blessed privilege and the great opportunity you give us to be involved in the wonderful work of doing just what you said in the Great Commission. You've called us to go forward to make disciples of all nations. Thank you for the privilege we as individual believers have and that we as the church collectively have of being able to share the gospel with the world. And once people come to know Christ, to be able to be involved by the empowerment of your Holy Spirit, involved in the wonderful work of making disciples, helping and teaching believers to grow up in their faith, to grow strong and vibrant. Father, poured upon your church the spirit of compassion and mercy. More and more, help us to see with eyes of compassion so many that are on the road to hell, that are lost and don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Help us, Lord, to live and love in such a way, Lord, that we're compelled by your Holy Spirit and in your perfect will to be the hands and feet of Jesus everywhere we go, with the opportunity to tell about the good news of Jesus Christ and tell people how they can be saved everywhere we go. Help us to be about your business faithfully in these regards. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much for your presence. Father, we want to take these moments just to be present with you. Father, I know that in that promise at the end of Matthew 28, that it says Jesus will be with us to the very end of the age. So, Father, we just want to be present with him. Father, I know that Jesus is already ministering and already working, loving so many people that I run into day by day. So, Father, help me to join in with his work. Father, thank you so much for your grace and for your peace and for your presence. I just look forward to seeing and hearing what you have for us this morning. And, Father, help us to walk in strength and own obedience to what you call us to. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. As we often do, we share resource, Christian education and discipleship articles, tools you can use to help grow in your faith, to become a more faithful disciple, and tools to use in the discipleship of your family, and tools that you can forward and share with others by way of email easily by taking the time and effort and making it the priority the Lord would have us to make it in sharing. And how easy is it to be able to simply send things by email? Let's make the most of every opportunity we have. The title of this article we want to share at this time is, it is The Holy Spirit and the Call to Ministry. John 14, verse 26, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you." Again, John 14, verse 26. Then 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, "Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, 'Because I bore him in pain.' Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, 'Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, so that it might not bring me pain.' And God granted what he asked." Again, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. The Holy Spirit is all about ministry all the time. He's doing ministry every day, 24 hours a day. What is ministry? Ministry is simply doing the will of God everywhere and all the time. One of the names of the Holy Spirit is the Helper. What does he help us do? He helps us listen to God and obey him. In other words, he helps us to do ministry wherever we go as we follow Christ. As disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, our job is to yield to the Holy Spirit all the time. Or it could be said that we are to be on call to serve the Lord 24 hours a day. We are to be evangelism-minded every day. How can we do that? By yielding to him. We carry gospel tracts with us wherever we might go. We're prepared to share our testimony of how we came to know the Lord or how he answered our prayers. We are to be discipleship-minded disciple makers every day as well. We may ask, "How can I pray for you? Do you read God's word every day?" Or we might share, "Reading 3 chapters in the word of God every day blesses my life so much." We also look for opportunities to be a blessing and to meet the needs of others. This is walking in love and can only be done successfully by relying on the Holy Spirit. One may conclude, that's easier said than done. How do we faithfully listen to him, the Holy Spirit, and follow him with a heart that is passionate to serve the Lord? Our calling as believers is to know Christ and to abide in him. We're called to walk intimately with him and listen to him, and we're called to obey him. Among other things, the Holy Spirit is a fire. He's a supernatural fire that burns within every believer. How big the fire of the Holy Spirit burns within each of us depends on our diligent obedience. When any believer listens to and obeys the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, the fire of the Holy Spirit will burn bigger and brighter in him or her on a daily basis. Thus, as we faithfully read and meditate on the Word of God, we, quote-unquote, add fuel to the fire of the Holy Spirit who burns within us. When we live a prayer-filled life faithfully, we also, through that means, add fuel to the fire of the Holy Spirit within us. The ongoing goal is to live daily so that the fire inside of us of the Holy Spirit is always burning big and brightly. Yes, every believer is called to be in ministry, and we're wise to consistently seek to live so that the fire of the Holy Spirit burns inside each and every one of us every day of our lives. Again, the title of that article, The Holy Spirit and the Call to Ministry. If you'd like to get a copy, simply email us. My email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get a copy to you. Again, joseph@afr.net. And may it be a goal for each and every one of us to learn by the grace of God to walk more and more intimately with the Lord every day and to live so that we're continually listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit and doing what he directs us to do everywhere we go. We are very honored to have with us once again as our phone guest, Philip Buttram. He's the president of the Gospel Tract Society. Brother Philip, how are you today?
Brother Parker, I am blessed. I thank God for that.
All right. Well, great to have you once again. And it's been our privilege to have you on a number of occasions over, I guess it's been over the last couple, between 2.5 years, but it's been great to have you on each time you come. Would you, before we further introduce you and the Gospel Tract Society, I'm going to ask if you'll just take time to pray for listeners to have ears to hear any and all the Lord wants to say to them through the broadcast today. Would you pray for our listeners?
Praise God. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you. Lord, you said we're in two or three gathered together. You are in the midst of them. And Father, we are together in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. Father, I ask right now for your special anointing to be upon those dear friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus that are listening to the broadcast, whether they're here overseas or wherever they may be, in the car, their home. Father, anoint this time, anoint their ears, anoint their mind, Father, to hear your voice, to hear your words, to hear your calling. Not what we say, Father, but what you say. Father, we ask for the entire broadcast to be full of your Holy Spirit. We yield ourselves to you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Philip. Would you take time now to further introduce yourself to our listeners and then tell them about the work and the mission of the Gospel Tract Society? And when the break comes up, we'll just stop there and pick up on the other side. But if you'd go dive right in, we'd appreciate that.
Okay, praise God. Brother Parker, I am so blessed that I serve in a capacity that both I inherited because my father started the ministry back in 1926, but because I was called by God to fill this chair, to be his vessel. We are a nonprofit 501c3 ministry based just outside Kansas City. We've been in the next year. We'll be in the ministry for 100 years, and we praise God for his faithfulness for meeting all of our needs. We print tracts. We are a non-denominational, which means that we don't, listen to or not listen to. We don't propagate the gospel of any man's teaching. God told my father when he called Dad to the ministry to always hold the Word of God faithful, to not tie to any denomination, and consequently to not charge for his word.
I'm going to jump in right there, Brother Philip, and we'll pick up right there on the other side. Our phone guest today is Brother Philip Buttram. He's the president of the Gospel Tract Society. We'll be right back.
Mountains to fall upon their knees. You're the one who welcomes sinners, and you open blinded eyes. You restored the brokenhearted, and you brought the dead to life. Forgetting all our sins, you remember all your promises. You are amazing, more than amazing, forever our God. You're more than enough. You are amazing.
The music of Lincoln Brewster with More Than Amazing. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest is Brother Philip Buttram. He's the president of the Gospel Tract Society. Brother Philip, if you'll pick up right there where you left off before the break.
Well, praise God. I was sharing the calling of God upon my father's heart, and we have been in the ministry. I've been in this chair for 11 years now, and we're striving to draw people into the Lord. We do this by printing gospel tracts. The tracts are attractive. We have to compete with Dell Comics and Disney World and all the other vices in the world. So God's word has got to be attractive. Mm-hmm. And so our gospel tracts are Bible-based. They are the word of God. They are attractive to the eye. Some would call them eye candy. But they have the word of God in them and they're contained in them. And if someone reads the word of God, reads the gospel tract, then the Holy Spirit has a seed to work with, a seed that can be planted in the soul. Mm-hmm. And they will come to a point of decision, either yes for God or they reject God. And that's their choice. That's their call. But we're called to be seed makers. Mm-hmm. Those listening to my voice are seed planters. They're called to work in the harvest field. Mm-hmm. And yes, I have my own harvest field. Yes, I do. I carry tracts with me where I go, wherever I go. And I give to people in the street, wherever God leads. But we are all called to a ministry. We are called to evangelize. The word evangelism or evangelize is a Christian word. It's not any other faith. It came about with the New Testament when the disciples, the apostles, went out to share the word of God. They began to evangelize the world. That's what we are called to do. The gospel tract is a tool, a means to share the word of God with somebody without being intrusive. Sometimes we can share it with our testimony, you know, talk to them about other things, you know, pray with them. Or sometimes they just handing a gospel tract to a person and letting the Holy Spirit do the work. Over the last few years, I've shared many stories of how God has anointed a person to give a gospel tract, which is anointed to an individual. And mm-hmm. over time, they read it and received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Hmm. Many people reject it. That's their choice. That's a free choice that God gives us. But we, as God's children, are called to be evangelists and evangelize the world. As the verses that you read earlier, there's so many sermons in there.
Mm-hmm.
We are called to be servants of Him. And our part of Gospel Tract Society is to provide seeds that the workers in the field can have something that they can use, they can plant the seed, and know that it will grow when planted in fertile soil, because it is the word of God, and the word of God will not come back void. It will not die. It will live forever.
Well, Brother Philip, I want to ask you this question. Like, say, if someone was to approach you to say, well, Brother Philip, I think the idea of gospel tracts is a nice idea, but I'm just sort of on the shy side, and I'm not really into that kind of thing. But we pay our pastor real good to do that. So how would you respond to that?
Well, pastors have their job. Their job is not to evangelize the neighborhood. Their job, their calling, is to teach the body of Christ, God's word. Now, a pastor can challenge a church, challenge its members to get out. But a church that is quote-unquote, organized evangelism is hurting the body of Christ. It's the body of Christ that is to evangelize. Mm-hmm. The pastor is not to have a program where they count, well, how many won to the Lord today? You know, let's do a head count. Oh, you got five? You got 10? Praise God. No. It's not a competition. Mm-hmm. The only thing we're competing against is the devil, who wants to destroy souls and wants to, because the devil hates God and hates man because we're made in God's image. But Parker, I really feel that God is dealing specifically with someone listening to the broadcast today. Mm-hmm. They may be called and don't know it. They may be called and know it and just reluctant, shy, timid, but God's dealing with them. I got a couple of points here, a couple of things that God led. And I apologize ahead of time if I break up, but the Spirit is really strong here. Mm-hmm. Last night, there was a lady on a program, a national program, was committed suicide because she had such a physical ailment that in suffering, she could no longer live. And so she was assisted in suicide and was, you know, broadcast on national TV. Mm-hmm. But the thing was that she chose a time to die. She had opportunity to have her family there, her friends there, share the last word. She had time to say goodbye. Whether or not she knew the Lord before she passed, I have no idea. But what if we, as Christians, see a house on fire? What are we going to do? Will we call for help? What if we see a child in the window? Will we try and break into the house and get the child? Will we stand and watch it burn? Or will we walk away? What if you hear somebody in a pool, a lake, a river, drowning, yelling for help? Are we going to throw them a life preserver? Are we going to try and jump and swim, even though we may not swim, to save a life? Are we going to call somebody, hey, this guy is drowning, help him? Mm-hmm. Or are we just going to walk away? What are we going to do when we face a situation that we will never see that person again, and we know we have a pretty good idea that they don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior? Will we just walk away? Or will we plant a seed that may save their life forever, lead them to eternity? What if that child in the window of the burning house was your child? Mm-hmm. What would you do? Do you risk life and limb to save that child? Or if it's your spouse drowning in the pool, even if you couldn't swim, you would jump in to save them because of your love for this person. Mm-hmm. If someone is in a car crash, what are you going to do? What are you willing to do to save a person's life? Mm-hmm. Not just a physical life, but an eternal life. Mm-hmm. We are all called. It's in the Word. It's in the Bible. We are all called to be pastors, to be missionaries, to be evangelists, to be servants of God. Mm-hmm. The only way we can do that is to humble ourselves before the Lord, strip away this fleshly body that we have, the desires of the body, which sometimes just seem to drive us mad, insane, of the body wants this, the body wants that. It's not about the body. It's about the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. If we will humble ourselves and renew God's Spirit in us, and that's a voluntary motion. Father, renew your Spirit in me this morning. Renew your Spirit in me this morning. If we will get that close to God, we will find that there is a love for other people that we may have never felt before. It's not our love. It's the love of Jesus Christ, mm-hmm, through the Holy Spirit that lives within us. If we will listen to the Holy Spirit and use that love, we will become soul winners for the kingdom of God.
You know, Brother Philip, I want to mention something. In fact, I'm gonna share a scripture that lines with what you just touched on, and I want to invite you and us to enlarge upon in our conversation. This is Acts chapter 8, picking up at verse 26. It says, "As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, 'Go south down to the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he started out and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the Kandaki, the queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning. Seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and walk along beside the carriage." Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. Philip asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" The man replied, "How can I unless someone instructs me?" And he urged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with him. The passage of scripture he'd been reading was this: "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or someone else?" So beginning with the same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. As they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized?" He ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Meanwhile, Philip found himself farther north at the town of Azotus. He preached the good news there and in every town along the way until he came to Caesarea. And, you know, Brother Philip, you know, I guess you could say from one Philip to the other, listening to the Holy Spirit is very, very important. And that's an area where all of us as believers, we're to seek to grow in our maturity, learning to listen to the Holy Spirit, because he knows how to approach any and everyone that needs to be approached. Our job is to listen and follow his leading and direction as it relates to ministry. And yes, every one of us, whether we fully grasp it or not, every believer really is called to full-time ministry in the truest sense of the word. And a big part of that is listening to the Holy Spirit and doing what he says. So, but any thoughts that come to your mind in relation to just that powerful but short account found in Acts chapter 8?
I tell you, there are so many sermons in the scriptures. There's not enough time with that. The first thing that stands out, which is applicable to everyone here, number one, Philip was in a position to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. not just physically. You know, did he hear through his ears? His spirit was right. He was right with God. Mm-hmm. He heard the voice of the Holy Spirit. The next thing is that, okay, you want me to run? You want me to take a hike? He was obedient. God didn't lay out, "Oh, you're going to meet this man, this powerful man." Philip, go run. He took the first step. He was obedient to what he heard without mm-hmm. knowing where he was going.
That's right.
It didn't matter where he was going. God had a plan. God knew. God knew there was a man that was hungry, was seeking, was looking, and Philip was a vessel. Mm-hmm. So all through the story, the obedience to the Holy Spirit led to the next step, the witnessing. Mm-hmm. Philip knew the word, and that's something that so many Christians, they may read a chapter here, chapter there, but they are not on a disciplined program of learning and knowing the word. All through the scripture, we're told that part of evangelism is to teach people. When we're talking salvation, we're teaching them about the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So we are to be we can't be teachers if we don't know the word. So we've got to immerse ourselves in the word, mm-hmm. not just read rote of, you know, blah, 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 blah. No. Read it, Father, anoint my ears, my eyes, my heart to receive your word while I read it today. Show me something in your word, Father, that you want me to know. Because Parker, I get the letters that I write are inspired 9 out of 10 times when I'm reading the word of God. Mm-hmm. God will point something out to me and it goes from there. We've got to be in his word. We've got to be obedient to his voice. We've got to hear his voice and comply mm-hmm. with it. And he will give us fruit. He will mm-hmm. give us a place to walk.
Brother Philip, before we come to this next break, I wanted to ask you, would you give your website, if there may be some who are listening who might be thinking they'd really like to see some of the gospel tracts that the Gospel Tract Society has available, or order some? Tell them how they could order those tracts.
Absolutely, and I apologize for not giving that earlier. Our webpage is just our name, Gospel, G-O-S-P-E-L, Tract, that's T-R-I-C-T, Society.org. We have probably 500 tracts on the webpage. You can read a tract, you can order a tract, you can donate for the order, or you can send a message or an email or prayer request. If you choose to call us, our phone number is 816-461-6086. We receive orders by mail, by telephone, through the internet, email, through the web. We can be reached so many different ways, but gospeltractsociety.org.
Okay. Well, we'll pick up there on the other side. Our phone guest today is Philip Buttram. He's the president of the Gospel Tract Society. We'll be right back.
Feeling lonely, this world got a way of showing me. Some days it'll lift you up, some days it'll call you bluff. Man, most of my days I ain't got enough. And all I know is you're my only hope.
Of Toby Mac with I Just Need You. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest is Philip Buttram. He's the president of the Gospel Tract Society. And Brother Philip, share with our listeners one more time. If someone listening is thinking to themselves they'd like to order some gospel tracts, or they just want to learn more about the Gospel Tract Society, tell them how they can order them or at least find your website.
Oh, praise God. Our webpage is Gospel Tract, T-R-A-C-T, society.org. On the webpage, we have our tracts listed, about 500 of them. They can be read. You can order tracts from the webpage, make a donation, send us a prayer request. We don't charge for the tracts. We don't sell them, but they do cost money. We have it's a business like anything else. We have to, you know, press and ink and electricity and insurance, but they are available. We do have Valentine's Day is coming up, and it's a special day of love, and we can share the love of Jesus through a Valentine tract. Mm-hmm. We have probably 20 different titles for Valentine's, and they all talk about the love for others, the love for Jesus. They're all attractive. They can be ordered at this late date. The web is probably the best way. You can order, look at the samples on the web, choose something you like. Right behind Valentine's Day, Easter is coming up, which is a beautiful time for the Christian to share the Word of God, the glorious Word of God, the risen Savior. We have wonderful tracts on Easter that can be ordered, talk about springtime, talk about the goodness of God. All these are available on our webpage, or you can call us 816-461-6086. Again, gospeltractsociety.org.
Well, you know, Brother Philip, something I would want to say, and in fact, I want to say this to all of our listeners. There may be some listening today and they're thinking to themselves, I wonder, should I order a gospel tract, or is that maybe something I should think about doing? You know, I'd like to challenge every single listener to assume and expect that, yes, you should get gospel tracts, whether you get them through the Gospel Tract Society or through some other means or ministry that's out there. But the fact is, the time really is short. And the fact is, there's so many people. In fact, we live in a world where the majority of people don't know Jesus. The majority of people who, if they don't change their life at this point in time and receive Christ, the majority of the people in the world, sadly, will go to hell unless they receive Christ. So one of the great needs is for we as the Church of Jesus Christ to have a heart of compassion and mercy, where we desire to be fully used of God and by His Holy Spirit to maximize our fruitfulness in helping people to come to know Christ, or to helping them to grow up in their faith as well. So if you're wondering whether or not you should get gospel tracts, let me say, yes, you should. Get them, and we're wise to carry them everywhere we go. And when the Holy Spirit says, give one out, whether you're in the grocery line at the store or in a drive-thru window or out in the park, we'll have them, as opposed to being in a place where we'll see someone, as Brother Philip, you mentioned, and we'll cross paths with them once in a lifetime and maybe don't have anything that we're able to put into their hands. Now, of course, the fact is we have testimonies. We can share our testimony without question too, but our goal is to listen to the Holy Spirit, and He knows what we should do in a given setting. So having those gospel tracts available is a wise thing for us all to do. So, but any other thoughts that come to mind in relation to the need for believers to try to have them available, Brother Philip?
There are so many times that people will contact us and they will find a certain tract that they really like. Mm-hmm. It speaks to them and be in line with their testimony. There's something that strikes favor with them. Mm-hmm. And they will order several hundred at a time because they want them at hand's reach at all time. We always say, never leave home without a gospel tract. Mm-hmm. Always have a gospel tract in reach. One of the tracts that I carry is a tattoo tract. It's called the Life-Death Tract. Mm-hmm. It's a world-famous tattoo. And if I see someone who has a tat, you know, I say, hey, well, that's a good-looking tat. What made you, put that tat on? It's an opportunity to give them a tract. On the back of this little card is the gospel message. Mm-hmm. No matter what a person is doing in life, work with children, street ministry, or just everyday life, we have a lot of people that will put a gospel tract in every bill that they mail, every Christmas card. In fact, I had a gentleman last November ask for tracts. He prints. He's an artist. He mm-hmm. designs and mails Christmas cards, and he wanted to start putting a Christmas card or a Christmas tract in every Christmas card. Mm-hmm. There are so many different ways that we can administer the Word of God through the printed page, through a gospel tract. Mm-hmm. If we will just do that, if we would just go ahead and sow that seed and give the Holy Spirit an opportunity to have something to work with. Mm-hmm. Many mm-hmm. times, and Paul says, be bold in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. I am not bold in my spirit, in my flesh, I should say, but in the Spirit, I am bold. Mm-hmm. We are to be bold when we normally would be shy and not talk to someone. If we're standing in line at the grocery store, we have a tract that's a poem tract or a tract that's a song tract. Ask the person in front of me, would you like a poem? Mm-hmm. Most of the time, I would say 99% of the time, they will accept it. Whether or not they believe it, whether or not they want it, they will have good manners, accept it, and say thank you. Sometimes it strikes up a conversation like, oh, wow, this is really good. Mm-hmm. You may have an opportunity to pray with somebody. You may have an opportunity to witness to them. You never know. If you don't take that first step of humbling yourself before God, getting a gospel tract that you like, carrying it, and being bold enough to give it to someone else with a smile, with a smiling face. Mm-hmm. You can't You can't have a witness, a grumpy or some fleshy vice, and be a good witness for the Holy Spirit, for God.
Brother Philip,
you've got to be a good witness.
Right. Would you pray for the church to really take on the heart of compassion God would have us to have for the work of evangelism and discipleship?
Praise God. Father, again, we're before you. We're humbly before you, Father. Father, you have called your children. In your word, you have called us to be epistles for you, to be workers for you, to be evangelists, to be preachers. Father, I ask that the Church of Jesus Christ be drawn unto you, Father, with the urgency of the shortness of time. Father, instill upon us the opportunities that we have to spread your word, to share your gospel. Father, it's not about us. It's not about our physical church. It's about your kingdom and your son, Jesus Christ. Lord, draw each and every believer unto you. Father, instill within their spirit the urgency of the hour, the soon coming of your son, Jesus Christ, and that we need to be about the Father's business. We need to be about working the harvest field. We need to sow the seeds, Father. Lord, give us the opportunity, give us the unction, and give us the realization that we have the power of the Holy Spirit to walk in your spirit, to be bold before the world, and share the gospel. In Jesus Christ, I ask it. Amen.
Amen. Amen. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, starting at verse 19, a powerful account from Scripture. Jesus said, "There was a certain rich man who was splendidly clothed in purple and fine linen, and he lived each day in luxury. At his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, who was covered with sores. As Lazarus lay there, longing for scraps from the rich man's table, the dogs would come and lick his open sores. Finally, the poor man died and was carried by the angels to sit beside Abraham at the heavenly banquet. The rich man also died and was buried, and he went to the place of the dead. There in torment, he saw Abraham in the far distance with Lazarus at his side. The rich man shouted, 'Father Abraham, have some pity. Send Lazarus over here to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I'm in anguish in these flames.' But Abraham said to him, 'Son, remember that during your lifetime you had everything you wanted, and Lazarus had nothing. So now he is being comforted, and you are in anguish. And besides, there's a great chasm separating us. No one can cross over to you from here, and no one can cross over to us from there.' Then the rich man said, 'Please, Father Abraham, at least send him to my father's home, for I have five brothers, and I want him to warn them so they don't end up in this place of torment.' But Abraham said, 'Moses and the prophets have warned them. Your brothers can read what they wrote.' The rich man replied, 'No, Father Abraham, but if someone is sent to them from the dead, then they will repent of their sins and turn to God.' But Abraham said, 'If they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, they won't be persuaded, even if someone rises from the dead.'" And you know, Brother Philip, in that powerful passage from Luke 16, it points out the fact that when people die, it's drawing out the fact when people die, there are only two places they go, either to heaven or to hell. And the fact is, sadly, so many people are on their way to hell. They need to hear the gospel. So one more time, would you share, if someone wants to order tracts from you, our time is just about gone here, tell them how to order them, please.
Our webpage is gospeltractsociety.org. You can read the tract on the web. You can order the tract on the web. You can call and ask for samples. It'll be our blessing to send you samples that you can review, let the Holy Spirit talk to you, maybe guide you in a different direction. It's our blessing to serve you, to provide the seeds for the harvest field. gospeltractsociety.org.
All right. Well, Brother Philip, thank you again so much for the great work that you and the Gospel Tract Society continue to do. And please keep up the great work you're doing, all right?
God bless you. Thank you.
Amen. Father, thank you again for the work and the ministry of the Gospel Tract Society. And thank you for every person that's listening, that's a part of our listening family. Lord, touch and move on the heart of every listener to do any and all you'd have them to do, to get involved in the wonderful work of the spread of the gospel and getting and sharing gospel tracts so that they too can be vessels your Holy Spirit can use to spread the gospel and build your kingdom. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, as we usually do, before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you have never in your life invited Jesus Christ to come into your heart to save you and to make you brand new and to be your Lord and Savior, today is a good day to make that step. If you'd like to make that step, would you, from your heart, pray this prayer with us even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into the world a long time ago. Lord, you lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things that I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. You told us in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word every day. Help me to pray every day. Help me to obey and follow you every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and gave your life to Christ, we want to be in touch with you. We do want to share with you some literature and resource materials that'll help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you please get in touch with us? My email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please email us and we'll get those resource items to you. We want to be in touch, so please do. Again, joseph@afr.net. Brother Philip, again, thank you for being with us. The website, one more time for listeners that may want to get tracts from you.
GospelTractSociety.org.
All right. Thank you so much for being with us, Brother Philip. And please pray for the ministry of the Gospel Tract Society. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.